Now let's continue on right here in Isaiah. There's one thing that God does not like to do. You read in Ezekiel 33, we won't turn there. He says, I do not delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way. And whenever you go through all of these prophecies where they have what God is going to do with the punishment, there's always a space of repentance. God always gives time for a space of repentance. So he does here. Verse 16, wash you, make yourselves clean. Now, how do you do that? You stop doing the sins, resolve the change and quit. When you come to the New Testament application of it, then you have to go to Christ, have your sins forgiven. Okay, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment, reprove the oppressor, judge the orphan, plead for the widow. All right. Where is the first place to begin? All the clergy. How are you going to reform them? Now, all of those who have their feel-good kind of Christian religion, whether they worship on Sunday or Sabbath, whatever, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand in the pulpit and tell your people, don't keep Christmas, don't keep Halloween, don't keep New Year's? Will any of the religionists reform? Well, maybe one here or there. All right. Let's try politics. Let's go to Washington, D.C., pronounce to the president, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the Supreme Court. The ultimatum of what God says that will help you get this nation squared around. After all, don't you say that's what you want to do? Don't you say you want it to be good for everyone? Don't you say that you are here to do good? All right, here's the recipe. Wash you, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek judgment, reprove the oppressor, judge the orphan, plead for the widow. Now that's just the start. Hold your place here and come back to Jeremiah 5. This could even be done by the president, since he claims to be Christian, which he had his flub concerning his Muslim faith. But since he claims to be Christian, and he wants the good of the country, and he wants to bring jobs, and he wants to stop the economic disaster we're facing, at least he tells us that. Okay? So, one man. Let's read it here. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Run through to and fro through the streets of Washington, D.C. No, it says here, Jerusalem. Could be any city, and see now, and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man, or in today's world, even a woman. You know why Michelle Bachmann could not get elected? She believes in God. She believes the nation is being punished because of our sins. She even quoted part of the prayer of Solomon, where Solomon prayed that if my people would pray to this place and return to me, then I would forgive their sins. Oh, but you can't mention that. See, because of the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Christians and the Catholics and whatever other brand of religion you have, you see. All right, so is there anyone there in Washington, DLC, District of Liars and Corruption, who fits this right here? If you can find a man, if there's one who does justice, seeks the truth, not a political solution, because remember, political solutions never solve spiritual problems, and all of our problems are spiritual. The national problems, the health problems, the economic problems, the child behavior problems, the educational problems are all spiritual because they've rejected God. If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her. God would hold off the hand of his judgment. Okay? I'll come back here to Isaiah, the first chapter. Let's see what would have to happen then. Here's what would have to happen. Vast repentance. This is why. This is why Jesus held out the example of Nineveh and Jonah's preaching as an example of what the people in his day should do because they repented at the preaching of Noah. Not Noah, correction. Jonah. Okay? And Noah was on the ark, Jonah was in the fish. Both on the ocean, okay? Here's what they would have to do, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If, see, there's that word. If you are willing and obedient. You need both, willing and obedient. You shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So here we are with all of these things we're looking at right now. Now, that's why those of us in the Church of God need to find our strength and our help in God. The world is not going to change. Maybe a small section of people in some area might. Maybe some Protestant churches may. But overall, they are not going to do it. That's why we have to be strong. Now, let's come to the book of Psalms here. Because there are some very interesting psalms that we need to go over. So we can claim the promises of God. So that we are not swept along in the political and religious warfare that's going to take place in the world. Because through it all, we've got to grow, we've got to change, we have to have faith in God. And though we can look out at the world and we can see all these things that are going on, the most we can do is, if we can, on a one-to-one basis, help someone. Now, through Church at Home, we're trying to reach people who are trying to find God. And through all of our books and publications, we're helping a great number of people starting to get their lives squared around. So here's what it has to be for us. Verse 1, Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Be gracious unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all the day, he oppresses me. And sometimes there are days you feel oppressed. Sometimes there are days you just feel that you're having to fight every day for everything. Those who lie in wait for me would trample me, for many are those who proudly fight against me. Here's the key, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now today, more than ever before, this is what we really need in our lives. God is there to help us. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. See, so you go from being afraid and fearful of the things that are coming to where you are not afraid because of God. I will not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Now, you also have days like this, verse 5. All day long they pervert my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they hide themselves, they watch my steps, they lie in wait for my soul. Could those be some of the thoughts of Jesus during his ministry? Could be. Was everyone against him? Yes, like I mentioned here recently. Jesus offended everyone. Even all of the disciples were offended him. At him the Passover night. Verse 7, because of iniquity, cast them out. In your anger, cast down the people, O God. You number my wanderings, O, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. That's how we survive. That's how we're able to handle these things. Come to God. He will turn back the enemy. Have a good example of that with this false preacher, Ron Wieland. Remember when we covered some of these things and I gave the sermon, you know, a false prophet within the church of God? What did we say? His day is coming. Did his day come when he least expected it? Did his day come to stop him from doing what he was doing? Yes. See, so when we pray for those in the church, we also need to pray that God will bring the ministers and the brethren to repentance as well. And if not, if there are ministers who are hurting the brethren, deceiving them, lying to them, that God would expose them and take care of it. He will. Because I know this, I know right here. This is why I've said, when you pray, open the Bible to the Psalms. Use the Psalms as part of your prayer and let those things be kind of an introduction for your praying and then begin to add your own words to it. But here it is right here. This I know because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now tie that together with verse 4. What can flesh do to me? Now hold your place here and come to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Let's see what Jesus said. Matthew 10. This is quite a thing. Matthew 10. Now he said we're going to face this. He says, beginning in verse 16. Now this has to do with the preaching and teaching. This also has to do with the society that we are living in. Behold, I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Did they do that to the apostles? Yes, they did. You shall also be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. They didn't buy their way into heads of states. Now, when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak, for in that hour it shall be given to you what you shall speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Now, this is why, if you have a relationship with God and the Spirit of God, you will know what to say when the time comes. Now notice it's going to be a difficult proposition. We've lived through this. We'll see it happen again. What he's saying here, brethren, is this. This will happen in cycles down through time until Christ returns. Then brother will deliver up brother to death. The father, the child, the children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Exactly the same thing, you see. This I know, God is for me. And that can help you strengthen you mentally because and spiritually, you see, because the things we are going to face down the road, we don't know how disastrous they are going to be. We don't know how difficult they are going to be, but unless we are strengthened mentally and spiritually and physically as much as we can to be ready all the time, it's going to come on us and bowl us over. So then he says here, when they persecute you in this city, escape to another one. How's that for traveling ministry? For truly I say to you, in no way shall you have completed witnessing to the cities of Israel until the Son of Man has come. So this is an ongoing thing down through time, like I've said. Always remember this. And I think about this all the time. Part of my constant prayer is that with God we live and move and have our being because of God. Always keep that in mind. And also this, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. That's the greatest way for all teachers and ministers to remember, do not get exalted. If you sin, repent, just like you demand of brethren when they sin to repent, you see. And what you're going to find is this, is that you'll be crying out to God daily for his spirit, for his word, for the washing of the water by the word to the inner recesses of your mind. And that is the deep part of our relationship with God. And that's where we get the strength in times like this. Not to look at people and see their faults and blame them. Yeah, we can look at and see their faults and what they do, but we need to come to God and always remember, this I know, God is for me. Now here's something else. It is sufficient for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the servant as his master. This is why we're also told, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. This is why everyone who is a preacher, elder, teacher needs to be teaching, not ruling. Needs to be uplifting, not oppressing. Needs to be encouraging in times of great difficulty. And that's what did Jesus say concerning foot washing? Hold your place here and come to John 13. John 13. John 13, 13. That'll be easy to remember. Okay, John 13 and 13. We find the same thing here. And this is why. The more you study the Bible, the more you put it together, the more you see it is one whole unit with all these different parts that are interconnecting, just like a big sphere where you can have lines intersecting, almost an infinite number of lines coming together within this sphere, interconnecting, okay? So here's what he told the apostles that night after foot washing. Last part of verse 12. Do you know what I've done to you? Because they knew this was a servant's job, washing the feet. You call me the teacher and the Lord, and you speak rightly because I am. Therefore, if I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you are also duty-bound to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example to show that you should also do exactly as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. Same thing we're reading back here in Matthew 10, correct? Yes. Okay. Nor a messenger greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Okay. Let's come back here to Matthew 10 again. Let's read on where we left off. Let's see what else he says. Now he gives these instructions to us so that when difficult times come, and we know that he said at the end, lawlessness is going to multiply. Love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. All right. Right in the middle of verse 25, Matthew 10. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those of his household? So if someone doesn't think well of you, or if someone doesn't like you or whatever, because you serve God, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Ask God to handle it. Therefore, do not fear them, because there is nothing covered that shall not be exposed, and nothing hidden that shall not be known. Does that always apply? Have we seen that over and over again? Yes, indeed, we have, haven't we? What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim from the housetops. No censorship here, right? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but do not have power to destroy the life. Now, the Greek there is psuche, and actually that's translated life more than it is soul. So it's proper to translate it life here rather than soul. Rather, fear him who has the power to destroy both life and body in Gehenna. So see how that all ties in right there. Then he talks about we're better than sparrows. Verse 30, even the hairs of our head are numbered. Remember this. This I know. God is for me. You could add to it, God knows me. God understands me. God wants me to come to him. All of those things. Then he goes on saying the things that will happen. How every house is going to be divided against itself. All right, now back here to Psalm 56. All right, let's come here to, yes, we read verse 11. Come down here to verse 13. For you have delivered my soul from death. You have kept my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. All right. Verse 57, chapter 57, Psalm 57. Now, let's go on for the next psalm. These connect. These are tremendous psalms. And it talks about what to do when we're in trouble. How do we handle it? Verse 1, be gracious unto me, O God, be gracious unto me, for my soul trusts in you. That's how it needs to be. In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these great troubles pass by. Ask God to handle them. Ask God to take care of them. Ask God to intervene and change the circumstances. He will. And then when we get to the end of everything, we know that it tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. All things, see? Verse 2, I will cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. This is why. This is how, right here, this one verse and the other verse. This I know that God is for me, okay, and this verse here. He fulfills his purpose for me. God did not call us in vain. God knows whatever problems and difficulties you have. God wants you to change and grow and overcome. He does not put upon you the burden of doing it all at once. It is a process for his purpose. So if you get down and discouraged and you think all is lost and there's no hope, remember those two verses. This I know, God is for me. And you cry out to God, God Most High, that means the Father, who fulfills his purpose for me. He is fulfilling his work in you. All right, let's come down here. Let's come down here to Psalm 59. Psalm 59. Now again, here's how to pray. I know. I've been confronted from enemies within the church. And some of them still consider me an enemy of theirs, but I'm not. And this is how we pray for our enemies. Okay? Let's just review that again. Pray for them that they can repent and change and be converted. Number one. Pray for them that they will leave you alone. Pray for them that God will keep them far from you. And then, if there is no other way, pray that God will execute his judgment upon them, what he considers needs to be done. Okay? God will do that. Psalm 59, verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of evil and save me from the bloody man. Now, you read some of these psalms and think about everything that David went through. Now, this is one of his psalms when Saul was watching to kill him. Okay. For behold, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. Without my fault, they run and prepare themselves, awaken to help me and look upon me. And you, therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. So now this is carried down toward the end time. And that's interesting. You go through, if you'd like a little interesting Bible study, look up all the places where it says all nations. show no mercy to the wicked traitors, that is, those who don't repent. All right? Come over here to Psalm 61. And here, come to Psalm 86 for just a minute. Psalm 86. Here's another one. If you've had a hard time praying, or if you've had a hard time repenting, or if you've had a hard time understanding what's going on, come here to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Okay? Psalm 86, verse 1. Bow down your ear, O Lord, answer me. So it says, hear me, answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul or my life, for I am holy. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto you all day long. Now, how did he do that? Well, in his mind. And when you really have the relationship you need with God, you will find yourself doing that too. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. Okay? Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Here's a promise. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He's not waiting to punish you. He wants you to repent. Now, there are some times when we have to take our punishment in our lumps, too. But he is ready to forgive and rich in mercy to all those who call upon him. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. Notice the urgency in his prayers. This is what we need in ours. Now notice again the day of trouble. Verse 7. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you and you will answer me. And remember, God is for me. And remember, God will answer me. Now, let's come here to Psalm 61. You can tie this psalm in with Psalm 91. Now, this is what we're going to need. Now, we have to be wise as serpent, harmless as doves. You've heard of all the economic things that may take place. They are going to happen sooner or later. So, like I've said, you need to have some physical supplies. God leaves it to you to do so. He gives the example of the ant. You don't need someone to boss you around to do it. You need to be like an ant and take care of it. Every time you go to the store, buy a little more of this, store it. Buy a little more of that and store it. Okay? Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. There are times when we get overwhelmed. There are times we just don't know what to do. Psalm 61 and verse 2. And we're all going to come to circumstances where it's greater than we can handle. Why? So that we'll trust in God. You know, and I like this, what William Tyndale wrote in Obedience of the Christian Man. He said that if everything were just, I'll paraphrase it, that everything were good and right all the time and no troubles and no difficulties, we would, of all people, be most arrogant. He said, if God bids you to go over the sea, he's going to send a tempest to test you. Now, what happened with the Apostle Paul on the way to Rome? They got caught in a hurricane. What did Paul have to do? He said, I have prayed, everything's going to be all right. But what did they have to do? They had to cast everything overboard so the ship wouldn't sink, okay? Moral of that story is, never get on a ship from Egypt. But he had to go by ship. Was there a tempest? Yes, okay? Continuing here in Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock higher than me. Always come to Christ. And put in there Matthew 24, or Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. Because we're building a house. We're building it on the rock. And we are to endure the rain and the flood and the wind. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower against the enemy. Notice what he kept his mind on. Always. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. I will take refuge in the hiding place of your wings. God's supernatural spiritual protection for you. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. May you add to the days of the king's life. May his years be as many generations. Well, we're looking for the resurrection, right? May he abide before God forever, prepare mercy and truth to preserve him. So those things are really tremendous. Okay, you can go on, read these psalms, use these for your prayers, and that will help you in these times. Now let's finish off with the first couple verses in Psalm 62. So if you read all of these one after the other, see how they flow. See how David prayed. See the faith that he had. Verse 1, only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. So you can trust in that. So in using these psalms, preparing for the days that are ahead, because we've all been warned, haven't we? As Greece is going, so are we going to go? How do we handle that? Well, let's go ahead and end it here. The answer is trust in God at all times. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.